Everyone.
Thank you all for being here. I hope you didn't have too much trouble getting in this morning. Over the weekend, as you know, our state was hit by Winter Storm Jonas. It was the most significant and widespread storm that Maryland has ever experienced. In just 2 days, we got an entire season of snow. I'm happy to report that all major state roads are clear. State secondary roads are all impassable condition in each direction, and interstates and primary state roads are about 90% cleaned up. I want to just give a shout out to Secretary Pete Ron, Secretary of Transportation, did an outstanding job. Thank you, Pete. He and SHA Administrator Greg Johnson, they really deserve a lot of the credit. The state is in terrific shape. The Port of Baltimore was open. We got DWI Airport open. In fact, we were the first airport in the region to open. We were way ahead of D.C. and Virginia. In fact, the Boston Celtics had to be rerouted. The only place they could land was at DWI. We were happy to help them. There's still a considerable amount of work to be done by the counties and the municipalities, digging out the local and neighborhood roads, and we're going to try to provide all the assistance we can to them. But I'm extremely proud of the performance of everybody in state government. All of our agencies were involved. Secretary Bassett, thank you for cleaning up the State House. Everybody get in today on the sidewalks. MEMA Director Russ Strickland, Adjutant General of the National Guard, Linda Singh. The Guard came in with 700 soldiers and 200 and some pieces of equipment and really assisted in over 100 different missions around the state. Were critical to our success. The state police, Colonel Bill Palazzi, they worked 24 hours a day, responded to more than 2,000 incidents. And the road crews, the thousands of state employees that worked 24 hours a day, they deserve our deepest gratitude and respect for the efforts that they did. Also, the volunteers that put a lot of time and effort in, the counties, localities, all the work that they've done, and most importantly, our citizens. I really want to thank the people of Maryland for heeding the call and listening to us when we pled with them to please stay off the roads. They did. I know it's frustrating. People didn't like they're getting cabin fever, but they did stay off the highways, and it really enabled us to do a terrific job. And quite frankly, I don't want to brag too much on you, Secretary Ron, but we're way ahead of all the other states. I heard people saying they came through Virginia, the roads were a mess, they hit Maryland, they were wide, completely cleared. Same thing for people coming from the north. They just couldn't believe that we had pavement on all of our major interstates. And so I want to thank everybody for their efforts. Thank you all for being here. And please be patient with your local governments as they continue to dig out their last few neighborhoods. But now, at this point, I'd like to turn to my colleagues for any opening remarks. Madam Treasurer.
Well, just to build on what you said, I do want to thank and commend everybody, including the folks like me, who stayed at home until this morning. But
thank you.
Isaiah Leggett said the road would be cleared by 7 o'clock, and at quarter of seven this morning, the plow came through and we got out. And I appreciate it. But I understand I was not able to come to the office yesterday, but I understand that you all, Madam Secretary, did a terrific job, General Services, with the entire state complex, and I thank you. And I want to add what I know the comptroller will be shocked to hear me say, but PEPCO in our region did a marvelous job. We didn't lose power for 10 minutes, and this, trust me, is very unusual in our area, and I'm still not sure that the bringing down all the trees was worth it, but it was, they did a great job. Everybody, the state, the county, the private sector, the citizens, I stand amazed at how smoothly, honestly, it went, with a few unfortunate exceptions, like the school in Baltimore County, but it's just terrific.
Well, thanks for mentioning. I forgot to mention the utility companies, but they also did a terrific job. MEMA was in contact with all of them. They brought in, I think, 800 and some contractors from around the country to help with the problem. New Jersey, I believe, had 70,000 people without power. The Carolinas, 100,000 people. At the peak of the storm, we had 10,000 people lose power. By the next morning, we were down to 200 people. So they did an incredible job, and we were very, very lucky with that.
Now, let's hope we don't get another one a week from now.
Stop saying that. Mr. Comptroller?
Yes, I'd like to echo the words of the governor and the treasurer, but noontime on Saturday, Annie and I were sitting at home watching the blizzard, and all of a sudden the power went out. So generally what happens over in that neck of the woods is that everybody gets on the phone and calls and says, hey, you're a big muckamuck, where's our power? And turns out a big tree fell down in Tacoma Park, knocked out a telephone pole, and 800 people had to sit for 8 hours without electricity. But Pepco, God bless them, they sent their crews out, and the city of Tacoma Park had their own municipal employees there. And in this raging blizzard that none of us, I wouldn't even stick my nose out the door, 50-mile-an-hour winds and howling snow out there, somehow they were able to replace the telephone pole and get the electricity back up on functioning again. 8 o'clock, on came the, well, heat was the main thing. But I thought about those Pepco employees and our own municipal employees up in those buckets at 50-mile-an-hour winds off the ground, putting in a brand-new telephone pole. I still don't know how they did it, but I would just like to echo the comments of the both of my colleagues on this board. There's always carping, and I understand Montgomery County, Baltimore County, and Baltimore City, people are upset that not every residential road is plowed. I get that, and I understand that politicians get some criticism for that after the fact. But what about those people that actually go out and do the plowing and do the maintenance work? I mean, the governor mentioned Maryland's roads. Yeah. I don't see any snow on the road. And
I saw a little bit on one ramp.
Uh-oh. Well, where was it?
Which one was that?
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to comment that the situation in the state was spectacular, and all the citizens got together, and my street actually ended up on the local news because they had everybody, despite the lack of electricity, had a big potluck supper, and everybody pitched in. And that was the mood, and government stepped up and did its job. And thank you, Governor Hogan, for arranging that. And Secretary Rahm, last night when we drove home from Annapolis, these huge trucks on the Beltway taking care of the last remnants. So hats off. Should run for governor someday. No, I'm kidding.
No interest.
Well, congratulations. Thank you very much.
Could I just add one vignette before you?
Sure.
That I live in a little neighborhood at the end of a state road that was plowed very early. But one of the advantages of new technology is that we have a community listserv. And so people went on the listserv, and we had neighbors, adults and teenagers, going out, shoveling out other people's driveways. Now, on our street, there was not a lot of point to it, shoveling out a driveway, because you couldn't go anywhere except at the end of the driveway. But there were people who needed to get out, and they could. There were people who went to the drugstore, I mean, sent out a thing saying, I'm going to the drugstore. Does anybody need anything? It was just a sense of community that this sort of stress and situation doesn't create, but it gives it the opportunity to bloom. And I was just so impressed by my neighbors and by this.
I have one other vignette since you brought that up. I have a neighbor who's recovering from cancer. And what did he do on our 300-yard long block of Sycamore Avenue? He started out at one end with his snowblower and came up all the way up, clearing everyone's sidewalk, and then all the way back down the other side.
That's wonderful.
And I was like, you know, I wish I owned a snowblower. But what a tremendous act of community charity, really, because, well, that just made me feel good to see the neighborhoods and the communities pulling together. Thank you, Governor.
All right. Well, thank you. Let's go ahead and get started with the Secretary's agenda. Madam Secretary.
Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. We have 15 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning. We have 6 reports of emergency procurement, and we are prepared for your questions.
Questions on the Secretary's agenda? I know that we have a number of people here to testify on item number.
And I just was reminded that item 10 is the capital improvement program for the schools, and we will hold that till the end of the meeting. So the Secretary's agenda, we're ready to address all the items except item 10. And yes, item 9 is a public school construction, a proposal of a regulation that would make window unit air conditioners eligible for expenditure capital funding. Expenditures that are eligible for capital funding is what the regulation is on item 9. And yes, I do believe that I know that at least the District 6 delegation is here, as well as Senator Broshen from District 42 and Delegate Neal from District 8. And then we also have the Baltimore County contingent from the Baltimore County Council.
Yeah, so we have a bipartisan group of legislators from the General Assembly who want to testify in support of this item. Some of them are here now, and I think some will be joining us. They've got some issues with session. And the ones that aren't here yet, Madam Secretary, you just call them up when they do get here.
If any of those, you or any of those people I just called, why don't you come up to the podium now? District 6, Senator Broshen, Delegate Neal, the Baltimore County.
We've also got bipartisan support from the Baltimore County Council, 5 of the 7 Baltimore County Council members, 2 Democrats, Kathy Bevins and Vicki Allman, and 3 Republicans, Todd Crandall, Wade Catch, and David Marks. I believe are all here. Todd Crandall, Wade Catch, and David Marks are present and I think ready to talk, along with we got the senator here. Last week, I know Baltimore County Board of Ed voted to add $10 million to their school operating budget for air conditioning. We'll go ahead and start with the senator from the 6th District. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Thank you, Board, and all that are here. I'm Senator Johnny Ray Sowling in the 6th District of Baltimore County. Thank you so much for we having this great opportunity to speak about something that's very important to us, but I believe to you. We think about our children. We think about our kids that are going through the schools in our state and in our nation and how it's so important for their education. We want them to have the best education that they can get. And we believe we've instilled some good things, and I think we're trying to improve them on them. But when we have kids in our schools that are in there and they're not comfortable. Matter of fact, personally, I myself, with a couple other delegates and some councilmen, walked through some of our schools. In the heat of the day in August morning to the afternoon, and before we got out of the school without my jacket, I was soaking, wringing wet in sweat with other staff and principal that we walked through the school. In one of the ends of school, it was 97 degrees, with the kids still in the class with hot fans hitting them, being just very uncomfortable. And I just walked through there at that time. But they were in there the whole time being taught and trying to learn math and English and history in these classes. And I say that's very unbearable, and it shouldn't be that way for our kids. I think it's something that we've looked into, we have an act upon. And I think for the best interests of our future and our kids, my heart is this. We want the best for our kids. The only way we can give the best for our kids is let them be comfortable in their rooms in school. And if we can do something like that, it's not just making a statement. It's doing the right thing. And we're thinking, I think about them all the time, and I believe you do too. So my heart is this. Let's give something back to our kids. We have parents who are concerned, and we've spoken about this many times already. We've heard the teachers, we've heard staff, we've heard principals, we've heard students. Let's do something. Let's be proactive. Let's give the best for our kids. All they're asking for is air conditioning, and I think we can do that. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Seth. God bless.
Thank you, Senator. Good morning, Delegate.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Governor. Good morning, Mr. Comptroller. Good morning, Ms. Madam Treasurer. I'll be very brief today. We get a lot of communication from the people of District 6 about this. There are many people that have called my office and said, look, these schools haven't had air conditioner from the time when I went there 30 years ago. Why can't we get this done? And I think we're all elected to provide solutions and not excuses. And I think your leadership this morning for this item is going to make a big difference for the everyday lives of these kids attending these schools. We support this item. We think this is going to give us a mechanism to get the job done, and we hope you support it today. Thank you.
Thank you. Tell you long.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for letting me have this opportunity to come here today to speak. We're, you know, we definitely need to do this. And, you know, you talk to constituents, and, you know, it's a problem we need to take care of. We want to ensure that our students have the best learning environment as possible. And this is a great solution to fixing the problem. And, Governor, I want to thank you because you're taking care of business, and you too. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Could I just throw out a question that ask people to think about as they come up? And that is, obviously, that unless we increase the amount of money given to school construction altogether, the money for this will come out of something else. And so I'm just asking your reflections on what you think it should come out of instead of window air conditioners. I mean, in order to pay for the window air conditioners.
Well, good morning, first of all.
Good morning, Delegate.
Good morning.
I don't think that question was directed
no,
at you.
No.
We're not going to put you on the spot.
I know I'm the biggest in the bunch here.
Okay. The hardball. Truthfully, it is time. I remember as a child, we never had air conditioners in school. But times are different now. And people's thinking capacity is different. And the stress of children is different. And Mr. Francho, as you know, we've been in community meetings together, and you've heard the children and the disabled and the special needs children. And I just think that it's time that we take this at a serious matter, not just a surface matter and get us all together and hear what we have to say. But I think it's time that we really I remember as a child, my mother used to say, actions speak louder than words. And I think it's time that we put actions to our words. And let's get the job done. I think working together bipartisanly, we can do this, and we can do it expeditiously. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, Councilman. Todd Crandall.
Good morning. I want to thank the board and the board's leadership for their foresight in offering this amendment. My name is Todd Crandall. I represent the 7th Councilmanic District in Baltimore County. I'm here on behalf of my constituents. Baltimore County has certainly made progress in air conditioning their schools. However, there are 35 schools in Baltimore County without air conditioning. 11 of those, almost one-third, happen to be in my district. And for whatever reason, many of our schools are on the lowest priority in terms of the county's list for getting the attention that they need. So I think that we owe it to our students to create the best possible environment. We owe it to our constituents to treat every citizen in Baltimore County fairly. The spending flexibility that the amendment allows for provides us to do these things. And I know there's been an argument made that window air conditioning, portable air conditioning is a temporary fix and not a fiscally sound policy. And sometimes spending money on temporary fixes is not the right thing to do. But when it comes to creating an environment that's conducive to learning as we prepare our young people for the future, I think it is the right thing to do. Doing the right thing is what we were all elected to do, and I think it should be our highest and best use of our time on behalf of the people that we represent. Thank you very much for having me today.
Thank you. Good morning, Councilwoman.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to be here today. We have four of our council people who have decided that this is a very important piece of business for us. And as chair of the county council, I just want you to know that I'm grateful for your leadership. Our job is to listen to our constituents, and I know you've been listening to our constituents for quite a while, Mr. Comptroller. and we appreciate that. The purpose of the window air conditioners is not to take the place of the renovation and some of the construction that we need in our Baltimore County schools that are one of our most aged public schools, but to give us a little relief between now and 2020. That's a long time. And so many of my constituents are saying, my child isn't going to see the benefit of this at all. And we know that working in a good environment, learning in a good environment, where our kids are healthy and happy, where they're well fed, where the climate is good. I know in my office sometimes in the courthouse, it's either freezing cold or extremely hot, and it makes you a little grumpy. So we can understand perhaps why our kids might be a little grumpy and our teachers as well. So I would appreciate you considering this amendment. I think it gives us another tool in our toolbox to work with. We have a maintenance budget in our schools. We know that. And I think that we should take another look at our maintenance budget across the state and in our Baltimore County public schools as well. But I'm just here to say thank you, and I appreciate very much your leadership on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Good morning, Councilman.
Hi. Good morning, members of the Board of Public Works. My name is David Marks. My county council district stretches from Towson to Kingsville. The comptroller was very kind to come to Kingsville Elementary School about 2 months ago. I'll echo a lot of what my colleagues have said. First, thank you for your support of public education. With your assistance and help of our county executive, county council, and state legislators, we've made a lot of strides. My district is fortunate. We're down to 3 schools that lack air conditioning in the immediate years, but there's a countywide perspective, and there's a lot of schools that need this. And I simply think it's important to give our county executive and our leaders the flexibility that they need to solve this problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Yeah, bring up my former student.
Former student? That explains it.
Yeah, but the problem was he reminded me we were in the un-air-conditioned part of Perryville Middle. So
don't blame him.
And then when I was out for 90 days to be in the General Assembly, what happened?
You did.
This one. Sonny,
you took over the class.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. I represent the 3rd District of Baltimore County, which is from the Beltway all the way to the Pennsylvania line. We're very fortunate to have only 2 schools without air conditioning. However, one of those schools, the comptroller's been to, I don't know if Governor or Treasurer, you've been there, is Delaney High School, which is pretty disgusting, to say the least. The building itself is in terrible shape and un-air-conditioned. But, I just have 2 schools in my district, but take a look at the rest of Baltimore County. 35 schools without air conditioning. School years start earlier. They end later. And it gets hotter and hotter. And believe me, coming from a teacher, it's intolerable. Kids can't, I don't care how good the kids are, they can't learn after a while. It just ends. This amendment will give Baltimore County and all the counties another option of window air conditioners or portable air conditioners. And I say option because it's certainly not the solution for all our schools. We have to look at each school, see where it's going to be viable, and the ones where it's not, we don't do it. We go forward with central air conditioning. So I think this amendment sets up the best of both worlds. And I urge you to support it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman.
Could I actually ask you a question, Councilman? One of the provisions is that the LEA inspect the maintenance and make sure that it's installed correctly and inspected correctly. I was a little concerned by that because it seems to me that maybe a third party ought to do that. But can I assume that the county government, the county council, will also be keeping an eye on that so that when they are installed, they'll be installed properly, they'll be maintained properly until you get it to the point in the school renovation process where you have a whole building.
Well, I can tell you, I worked in the audit office of the county school system. And for a while, we did have a problem. We had a couple schools at Liberty Road where they were not inspecting it. And I can assure you, after that, Baltimore County Public Schools take very seriously inspecting to make sure the air conditioning heating systems are proper. Although I go over to Delaney High School, our county executive, the door, the bugs came out, the door fell apart on the floor. Do you remember that? It was terrible. But the actual maintenance of the buildings is a problem. I don't think those systems, they're going to be inspected.
A concern was expressed in the past by the IAC that the installations are not put in properly sometimes, and when they're not, they don't function. And I assume that since everybody thinks that this is in your area, this is the top priority, that it will not only be the school maintenance people, but the county, the elected county folks who will be keeping an eye on it.
Well, I can assure you, I for one will.
I have no doubt. That's why I asked you the question.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you very much. excuse me. You should have my letter of support in your binder of letters of support there, Mr. Comptroller. I want to thank you for having us here this morning, and I'll be very brief. I'm a product of Baltimore County Schools. Obviously, I had this gentleman as a teacher, and he's continued to teach me. But, you know, to answer your question from earlier, I'm very proud of, this is my 14th year here, we have set records for school construction and renovation money, what we've been able to bring back to Baltimore County. And that's from both when I was a delegate and chair of our delegation. We negotiated for money specific to air conditioning. So my job, as I see it, is to provide the resources to my county and leave the decisions to them. And I think that this is another very valuable resource. My job is to give all the tools that I can to allow them to do the good things that they do. But I did go to Perry Hall Elementary and Middle when we didn't have air conditioning, at least not in all of Perry Hall Middle School. And it really is a difficult learning environment. So we really appreciate if you would support us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Elliot. Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions on this item?
I have a question of I don't know whether it's actually a question of Mr. Weaver or of the secretary of the board, but it's just the way the item is written.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stalling because I've got to get back to that item. I apologize. That's the problem. Where half the classrooms are not temperature controlled.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Or what does that mean?
Means they don't have air conditioning.
Too hot or too cold, that you can't control the temperature to be a reasonable student, a reasonable teacher in that classroom.
So in where it's too cold, which is the problem right now,
mm-hmm.
although I don't function well in hot weather, I sympathize completely, totally. Is there now any, what are the prohibitions regarding the prohibitions in your, I gather this is a question of your policy, it's not the law.
Dr. Weaver from the school program.
Yes, good morning.
Right, it's your policy that things not, that these funds not now be used for window air conditioners.
That's
is that right.
The IAC's policy
okay.
for 2 years.
Yes. Do you have a policy about heating? Is there something that is forbidden?
No. The assumption is that all schools will be heated. They have to be in this climate.
So there are no places where half the classrooms are not cold temperature controlled.
No, they all have heat, as far as we know. Now, we do have the occasional boiler that goes down and so forth.
So all we're talking about, as the governor said, is air conditioning.
Hmm.
So we can say where half the classrooms are not cool enough?
Well, we just had language before, and I'm trying to understand.
Well, I think where there are provisions for cooling is what was introduced on December 5th. The language was where half of classrooms do not have provisions for cooling, And if language was changed when it came to the board here, to say half of classrooms are not temperature controlled.
I'm just trying to understand the meaning.
The reason for the change is I actually found it difficult, and Dr. Lieber can tell you that he and I have worked on the school regulations since scratch, since there were no regulations. So I helped develop these things where they went in, so I put this in this place. I found it difficult to understand where there are no provisions for cooling. What did that mean? Did a student or a teacher say, are there provisions for cooling in this classroom? And even if there were provisions for cooling, they might not work. So I thought the real question to the student or the teacher is, am I temperature controlled? Am I hot in here? Am I cool? Is this temperature controlled? I didn't actually know what provisions for cooling meant. So I changed language that I thought was a little bit more plain language, layperson, but it certainly could be changed if this is not clear enough.
No, I just want to make sure everybody's thinking of the same classrooms, basically, in the same situation.
The original IAC motion from December 3rd said, for all public school construction program funding programs and facilities where more than 50% of classrooms currently have no provision for cooling.
Yeah, I understand there was this change, and that's why I'm just trying to understand.
As identified, yes, there was that change, and it was done by this draft.
And you all share a common understanding about the meaning of...
Well, there are provisions for cooling in the winter. You just open the window. So
some
about,
of those windows don't.
Summertime is when we don't have temperature controls.
I'm not a wordsmith. I just want to make sure everybody's thinking about the same situation and the same thing.
I think cooling would be a simpler and more straightforward way of putting it.
Where half of classrooms are not.
I'm not asking you the answer seems to be no, we're not thinking of the same.
Dr. Lieber.
Well, temperature control has a broader meaning. We did not write this, but temperature control has a broader meaning. It can involve, say, the thermostat that controls the heat setting. So clearly all classrooms do have some temperature control. So to really make this very clear that it is about situations where there is no provision for air conditioning.
Where there is no air conditioning, I guess the word provision, if we're going to start striking on words, provision for air conditioning. So where half of classrooms are not air conditioned, why don't we just say it? That is the simplest thing.
That would be simple.
Where half of classrooms are not air conditioned.
Sure.
I mean, that could be a motion from the board of things like... air conditioning instead of temperature control.
Okay, we got a long agenda today, so I think we have to move on.
You're asking us, Governor, to vote for a regulation.
Well, if you want to make a motion to change the wording, we'll be happy to listen to it, but I don't want to just debate the definition of cooling.
Sorry. Well, that was the question of whether it is a definition of cooling.
Okay. Any other comments, Mr. Comptroller?
Yeah, I do have a few comments. Thank you. And I just want to say how much I appreciate, thank you, Dr. Lieber, your fine, how much I appreciate the comments of the bipartisan group of local Baltimore County officials and also the state legislators who visited us today. In a way, it's a shame that it had to come to this. The Board of Public Works, under Governor Hogan's leadership, has to resolve an issue that could have, would have, and should have been dealt with by the IAC months ago. But this is a very good day. And, speaking as the comptroller, I am delighted to be here with this language in front of us. I believe it is a major step in the right direction for tens of thousands of children, teachers, and public school employees who have been forced to endure conditions that are unsafe, unhealthy, and inhumane. Here's what we've learned over the course of time about window air conditioning units. Number one, we know they're affordable. Anne Arundel County, under Alex Saknovich, installed them in 33 schools at an average cost of about $120,000 for an elementary school and $250,000 for a high school. And just last fall, the Department of General Services, under Secretary Gail Bissett, thank you, Madam Secretary, conducted its own study which confirmed that window units can be purchased and fully installed for less than $10,000 per classroom. 1,000-plus classrooms as we speak in Baltimore County lack air conditioning. We know that these units are durable. Over of the 33 schools that received window units in Anne Arundel County well over a decade ago, 15 of those 33 schools still use them today, thanks in large part to proper installation, proper security, and responsible maintenance. And we know that the window air conditioners work, and children and teachers in places like Anne Arundel County don't have to dread going to school. They don't have to worry about getting sick in the classroom, fainting in the hallways, or coming home soaked in sweat, because they're forced to sit there and endure conditions which few of us would even expose our animals to. Governor, this has been a long time coming, and I've been fighting this battle for over 5 years. And think back to that day in 2011 when those kids came before this board. Kids from Baltimore County came before this board 5 years ago and talked about getting off the school bus with their fingers pruned, talked about how they felt sick, their clothes soaked in sweat. Parents talked about how they felt sick inside. Parents right here in this very room. How they felt sick inside because there was nothing they could do to protect their kids. And how they felt somehow like they had let their kids down. Remember the first time I visited Westtown Elementary School back in September of 2012 at the invitation of Denise Avara for a back-to-school night. And wondering how the children and teachers could endure conditions that were beginning to make me feel nauseous. For too long, these kids, these teachers, these parents have been given the back of the hand by those who should have been looking out for them from the very start. Bureaucrats protecting their own turf. Politicians protecting one another. Editorial writers dismissing this as nothing more than a sideshow, when there were trendier and more fashionable issues to ponder. Well, times have changed. There's a new sheriff in town. Governor, I want to thank you sincerely for embracing, from the minute you took office, this bipartisan coalition of teachers, parents, and community leaders who just want to protect their kids. For taking time to listen to these innocent people whose health and safety hang in the balance, and for sending half of your administration to our town hall meetings in Arbutus, Dundalk, and Parkville. For giving your aide and our friend, Mr. Mark Nugent, a chance to devote himself to finding a solution to this bureaucratic and political logjam, and tear into this with the tenacity that one would expect from a young man with three young children himself. See here, to Mark Good. Yeah. Mark, I know you don't have children in the Baltimore County or Baltimore City school systems, but you have honored your own children with the caliber of your work on this issue. I'll give you a round of applause. And I want to salute my own chief of staff, Len Foxwell. Because when I was out there pounding the table on this, and Valerie Radamski, who now works for me, was back there, she remembers, we were all dismissed. Bunch of malcontents. Not a major issue. Nope. This man over here, Len Foxwell, well, the state of Maryland owes a lot to him. Len, thank you very much. He helped the governor and me show that once again, when Republicans and Democrats focus on the work of the people instead of on the next election, we can deliver real results on what I call these real-world issues. Real-world issues that actually matter to the people we represent. I don't know, honestly, how long it will take to see and feel the effects of what has been accomplished, what is going to be accomplished with this rule promulgation. I do know that those who are in the resistance will no longer be able to use state policy as an excuse for their own obstructionism. And I would respectfully suggest that those who fail to take advantage of this opportunity to protect the health and safety of their constituents with the money sitting on the barrel head, they continue their obstructionism at their own peril. This is our Flint. Years, the people in Flint were told, oh, there's no lead in your water, there's no problem with the water, it's fine. Mayor came on TV set, drank a big glass of Flint water. Pushed aside, back of the hand, not a problem. This is our Flint. Governor, thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Comptroller. Certainly something he's been passionate about, led the fight on for many, many years. I want to thank you for your leadership on this issue. I'm happy that we're finally getting to the point where we can take this vote this morning. This IAC policy change will provide a tool to enable us to take care of these kids. 22 jurisdictions in the state have solved the problem of air conditioning. Two have not, Baltimore City and Baltimore County. And it's unacceptable. 30,000 students, 1,000 teachers sitting in sweltering classrooms. And to say to them, we can't fix this problem unless we wait 7 to 10 years central air in all these schools, or to say we can't fix it unless we get half of all the school construction dollars in the state given to us, take it away from 15 or 20 other counties. It's just unacceptable. So this provides an immediate solution to a terrible problem, and I just want to thank you, Mr. Comptroller. It's all because of his effort, and he deserves a big round of applause. Madam Treasurer.
Thank you. I certainly do recognize the hard work of the Comptroller, who has been pressing this issue for a number of years. And I must say it was due to the Comptroller and his request that the gentleman from Anne Arundel County come and tell us about his program that I became actually convinced that the use of room air conditioners in a process towards a total building air conditioning was, in fact, a very reasonable step. I have no doubt that the board has the authority to enact this regulation under present law. I was surprised to learn that there was a policy against this, and don't quite understand why this policy exists, since at one point the treasurer's office made it clear that there was no either impediment in bond law or otherwise, and that had been the rationale I had heard. So I don't understand that. I am very concerned that while this is the legal process, that we do have a system that has worked very well for the people of Maryland, I believe, of non-political administrative examination of school construction needs, a process where the counties make proposals. There is a way for the state to look at it through the IAC and then to recommend to the people on the Board of Public Works, which is a political board, the school to approve the projects, not to approve. That process actually fell short when the IAC, I believe, when the IAC did not take up the issue that the governor and the comptroller requested them to look at. To the extent that this is simply authorizing the IAC to consider room air conditioning along with all the other heating and other items, including long-term equipment items that they look at, I don't see the harm in doing it, and I think it clarifies that all things should be looked at. If this is the beginning of this political board, however, taking over school construction projects and decisions, which I'm told is not, I think this would be a significant step in the wrong direction. And I understand there will be a commission looking at the entire school construction program over the next year, and I would hope that they would look at this process also. And with that, Governor, I would vote to support it.
Great. So I was, Madam Secretary, should we take a, why don't we take a, open up to a motion on this one item and then move on? Is there a motion on item number 9?
Move approval.
Approval. Second by the Treasurer. 3-0.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we'll move on to the rest of the Secretary's agenda. Any other questions on the Secretary's agenda on item 15?
Item 15 is the Attorney General's request to enter into a contract with outside counsel and propose to compensate the outside counsel with a contingent fee if a recovery is. So do we have Mr. Zimmerman here? Mr. Matthew Zimmerman, come up to the podium, please. Introduce yourself and tell
us about
the contract.
Good morning.
Matt, you
want to discuss this item?
Tell us what you're here
yes. for. Yes. I am the procurement officer on this contract, so I'm the one most familiar with it. We have, in concert with a group of the lawyers who specialize in this particular area, investigated whether it would be wise for the state of Maryland to pursue the potential for litigation against the petroleum industry for MTBE contamination of water. MTB is a gasoline additive. It is very prone to bond with water. It moves faster in water, groundwater, than any other constituent, and it's persistent. It doesn't break down. So we have investigated a number of areas where there have been gasoline leaks, found that there is groundwater contamination, drinking water contamination, and we propose to pursue that litigation with this contract. The states of New Hampshire, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Kentucky are pursuing this litigation, also Puerto Rico. And in New Hampshire, the state Supreme Court has just affirmed a $235 million judgment against Exxon. So, the state of Maryland's geography, geology, is similar to these other states, and we believe we have selected the best team from a group of applicants at the best price, and we are asking for the board's approval and blessing for this contract.
Okay. Very good. When was the contaminant put into, I guess, Maryland, or when did all this occur?
This occurred between, for about 15 years, up to roughly 2001.
Okay. Why are we now suing 15 years later?
Well,
why the delay?
Well, the litigation itself began first with water suppliers in various states about 15 years ago. And states did not begin pursuing this until 7 or 8 years ago. Maryland has been looking at this question for 3 or 4 years now and has only now brought it to this point. The contaminant is no longer sold. It's no longer distributed, but it's not gone. And it won't be gone unless the state has the resources, the money, the personnel to address the problem, find out how widespread it is, and take remedial action where necessary. So we lack those resources today, and we're seeking to recover them with this litigation now.
So the reason we waited 15 years is because previous attorney generals did not do what Attorney General Frosch is doing, or...
I suppose you could say that. But this was begun under Attorney General Gansler some time ago, and it's been under careful consideration for a while now.
Okay. And how were the law firms selected? Was it a competitive process, or is this just a case where
no, sir. It
a couple
was
of
a
people
competitive
rose
process.
To the surface?
It was a competitive process. There was a request for proposals put out. Four firms responded. Four groups of firms. No one law firm can handle this alone. One group was judged to be not qualified. The other three, each group consists of at least three separate law firms. Those three were interviewed, and we ranked them. We then opened sealed bids to consider what their financial proposal was. The group that was eventually selected ranked first on technical merit and also first on financial. And I might add, I have the contracts from Kentucky, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Vermont. I think I forgot to mention Vermont. And our contract on price is very favorable to those contracts.
Okay. And based upon the previous patterns of state litigation, is it more likely these companies will choose to settle out of court, or will they be inclined to take the case to trial?
Historically, the defendants have, as a group, settled these cases, with the exception of Exxon. The New Hampshire case I mentioned a moment ago, there was $175 million settlements with the other defendants, I believe. Exxon went to trial and lost a verdict that was affirmed at $236 million. So Exxon has fought to the end. The others have not.
Well, kudos to Attorney General Frosch for putting this forward. And God knows the state of Maryland needs the money. But I take it the public health hazard has been significantly mitigated by the passage of time, or not?
Well, the answer to that is we're not entirely sure of that.
Well, put it this way. The pollution stopped in 2001 when they stopped putting the additive in, and then there's some, I guess.
The new pollution stopped in 2001, but this chemical bonds with groundwater, moves with groundwater, and does not break down or degrade, so that basically it's becoming ever more widespread. We have not had the resources to test, investigate, and remediate to the extent that we believe it necessary. There are 400,000 private drinking wells in this state. New Hampshire found about 9% of its private drinking wells were contaminated. Similar numbers in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. We're expecting similar numbers here. Then there are about 3,600 public drinking water systems also in the state, only a small fraction of which have been properly investigated. It takes testing, personnel, lab work, and then you have to decide what to do once you find it. So we expect to find MPBE for many years. It does not break down. Other contaminants do. Gasoline is basically remediated by microbes eventually, not this.
Oh, as I said, I praise General Frosch for moving forward. I'm just, why did it take so long? That's not for him or for you necessarily. It's just, gee, what happened?
I wish it hadn't, but here we are. And
okay.
We're hoping for your approval.
Thank you.
Governor, I have no problem with this, approving this item whatsoever. I think this is the major item, actually, even beyond school construction on this agenda. I am very concerned that we don't really have a handle, and we won't till we go through a process, on the impact of the MTDE on Maryland and Maryland citizens. It's toxic.
Yes.
It's not water soluble. I don't know that it's the Attorney General's office. I don't know whether it's DNR or the Health Department, whomever. But I think the Maryland people need some greater understanding and statement on the size of the problem, the nature of the problem. It's fine. I hope we'll get the money from the miscreants to begin to address it, but we don't even know the extent of the problem before we begin to address it. And I just think this is a very significant public health issue that I would hope the appropriate agencies.
I would have imagined over the last 15 years they would have already taken some steps. But if it hasn't been done, we'll direct our Secretary of the Environment to take a look at what additional steps we can do that haven't been done for the past 15 years.
Yes, some steps have been taken, but the resources have been limited, and there's a concern at the Department of the Environment that we haven't had enough of an investigation.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Any other questions on the Secretary's agenda? Is there a motion? We're going to remove item 10. The school appeals later today after this. So everything else?
Yep.
We already did 9. 10 comes out. It's a motion to approve the rest of all the items.
Move approval.
Second.
Okay, 3-0 on the Secretary's agenda. We'll move on to the DNR real property agenda.
Good morning, Governor.
Mr. Secretary, good morning.
Good morning. Madam Treasurer, I'm sorry. This morning, the Department of Natural Resources has 13 items for the Board's consideration.
Any questions on the DNR agenda?
Move approval. Sure.
3-0 DNR. That was easy for you this morning, Mr. Secretary. Move on to the DBM agenda.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. The Department of Budget and Management has submitted 10 items for today's agenda. We're withdrawing item 3S, leaving 9 items for your approval. And I have representatives here to address any concerns or questions you might have.
Questions on the DBM agenda? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
We're moving through this. University system agenda. Who's here from the university system?
Mr. Evans is here. Mr. Hickey's here. University system. They are.
Don't everybody jump up at once.
And I will tell you that the university system has 8 items on this agenda. And I know some of the president.
Any questions on the university system agenda? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Move approval. 3-0. Information technology.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. I'm Louis Strada, Deputy Secretary of the Department of Information
Please
Technology.
Please be quiet. Thank you.
Today we have 3 items on the agenda, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Excuse me. Everybody, can you please keep it down in the back of the room? We have a hearing going on. Thank you. Sorry. What did you say?
We have 3 items on the agenda, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Any questions on Do It?
Yeah, I just want to comment for the record that item 2 is a very complicated but I think much needed initiative. And Secretary Malhotra nicely briefed me yesterday on it. This is long overdue. It's very complicated. I appreciate his leadership, and we'll follow this closely to see what lessons we can all learn from making this technological move to a different platform. So I want to thank the Secretary for explaining in plain English what is certainly a very big and very important project.
Governor, I'd like to echo the Comptroller's remarks and thank the Secretary for coming. Thank you for having the Secretary come. It was very helpful.
Yeah, well, you mess up, you'll be back here again, though.
Well, we're very proud of the job that Secretary Malhotra does, and he's very good at explaining things in common English.
Yeah.
I like that. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Any other? Is there a motion on the Do It agenda?
Move approval.
Second.
Okay, 3-0. Now we move on to Department of Transportation. Mr. Secretary.
Good morning.
Right after this, we want you to get out and finish the snow.
Okay.
we can get a quick approval of all 19 items, I'll be out the door. And for the record, Pete Ron, Secretary of the Maryland Department of Transportation, we are presenting 19 items with one supplemental, and we are pulling item 5S from the MDOT agenda.
Questions on transportation?
I have one question on 21E, the clean diesel buses.
Yes.
It's a very simple question. I assume you looked at the natural gas alternative. Did you?
Yes. We have.
Right.
We've examined those. We also looked at hybrid as well. And the conclusion was that performance and emissions were best met with the clean diesel selection.
And was the problem with natural gas? What was the problem with natural gas?
So
we have Director Comfort here. If you want to pass it off,
I have a feeling there was there's a simple response.
Paul Comfort, the director. You've done a great job too during the storm.
Thank you. Thank you.
Getting everything up and
running. Happy to announce that all buses are on the street today.
That's amazing.
There are some diversions, but within 72 hours of the storm, we were able to get all of our routes out. So
great work, all your team for all their hard work.
Thank you. I will. Madam Treasurer, Mr. Governor, Mr. Comptroller, thank you for having me here. Yes, we are interested in CNG. To be honest with you, it takes a major investment in infrastructure to have that. We don't have that at any of our current four bus garages. But if we do build a fifth garage or a replacement garage, I certainly would be interested in looking at analyzing the long-term cost implications and the efficiency of doing CNG on some of these buses.
That was what I was looking for. Thank you very much.
I'll just take advantage of you being up there. Why did a $97 million contract only produce one bid?
It is something, isn't it? We had the same question. As you know, there are only three manufacturers right now manufacturing buses in the U.S. that can meet the Buy America requirements required by the federal government. One of those companies, Gillig, does not normally bid on 40-foot buses, which is what we need. They normally build 30-foot buses. They would need to build a new factory, we were told, in order to do this. The second company has an 18-month delay before they could even begin construction on our buses. And so there really was only New Flyer was the only manufacturer able to meet the FTA requirements for Buy America and meet our timeline of getting our buses here within the next, you know, by the time we start Baltimore Lincoln 18 months from now.
And I noticed, I think there's another item about MARC trains, we're buying them on some, well, where the previous technology contract, we're piggybacking on a out-of-state consortium contract and getting the discount. Why don't we do that here?
We do it often. As you might recall, just recently, you all approved us doing a piggyback, if you want to call it that, with our new engines for our locomotives. We did 8. We tagged on to the bid just a couple months ago of Illinois. So we do look for those opportunities. On the bus by itself, the FTA recently changed the rules in FY15, which made it a little more complicated to tag on to other cities' bus purchases. But we are working with WashCOG, the Washington Council of Governments, to get on their agenda so we can do our next bus purchase, perhaps in conjunction with our friend down at WMATA, Paul Wiedefeld, down there. So
this $97 million is going to be used to, admittedly, it's federal dollars, but those are still taxpayer dollars.
Absolutely.
That's going to be used to replace 172 so-called dirty old buses. I take it in Baltimore City?
Yes, sir. So we have about 90 buses in our fleet that are still have what we call the old diesel technology, which isn't the clean diesel. And so they'll all be replaced. And so we'll have an entire fleet of either clean diesel or hybrid buses in the MTA fleet once this purchase is done. We're real happy and proud of that.
Great. So that's a plus.
Absolutely.
For the Baltimore City region.
Yes, it is. We will no longer have what they call dirty, they're not really, yeah, but they're called dirty diesel buses versus the new clean technology, which filters out a lot more and meets the new EPA standards.
Excellent. Thank you, Governor.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Comfort. Any other questions on MDOT agenda? Is there a motion? Second. 3-0 MDOT. Last but not least, we're on to the Department of General Services. Secretary Bassett.
Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
Mr. Comptroller, for the record, I'm Gail Bassett, Secretary of General Services. The department has 18 items on our agenda. We are withdrawing items 8 and 9. We'll be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Are there any questions on a DGS agenda? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second and 3-0.
Very good. Well, don't get scared when I say this, but we are adjourned. We're going to take a short break to reconfigure for the school appeals, and then we'll be back to start our second part of the hearing. So.